Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an Our Paranormal Afterlife extra episode, and I'm your host Simon Bowne. In this episode, I'm talking to Natalie Hall about her work as a hypnotherapist working in past life regression. Natalie is a master trainer in hypnotherapy, and for 21 years has helped thousands of people as an advanced hypnotherapist, neuro-linguistic programming master, Simpson protocol practitioner, and transformative life coach. She was personally trained by Dolores Cannon as a quantum healing hypnosis technique level 3 practitioner. Hi Natalie, thanks for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Very exciting topics that you have on your podcast.
You take people through QHHT, which is quantum healing hypnosis technique. You took me through one of these sessions and it was really amazing. But first of all, can I ask, how is it that you came to do hypnotherapy?
Well, I'd worked in the family business through school and leaving school. And then my dad passed away at the end of 99. And my compass was the need for money, really, initially. So I just, you know, you ask a question and you'll get the insight that you need. And I thought, well, in my mind, property made sense to me as to that's where I might earn money, not being particularly qualified in much else and always working in the family business. So initially I worked in Canary Wharf for Savills, selling off planned properties to investors. And then I recognised that I loved the interaction with people and finding out about their stories and why they wanted to buy the property and what else they had elsewhere, because a lot of people that I dealt with were international at that time. And then I had a day at a spa and I just felt, oh, this is so nice. This is the environment I'd like to work in. And I felt that I wanted to come out with from sort of, whether you call it corporate or salesy type environments, and I just wanted to work with people, help them, but have more of a calmer environment where I worked for myself, basically, because working in the family business, I felt that I was working for myself, really. My dad was very ill when I was a small child. He was on kidney dialysis, and we used to have spiritual healers come around the house. And even though with the rare syndrome that he had, the doctors had said he will die, my parents didn't believe that, and these spiritual healers confirmed that he would live until a particular age. They were right, actually. He did live. He was the first one to survive this syndrome. Medical journals were written on him. But the spiritual healers used to point at me as a child and said, this one's a healer, she's psychic. And those words just sort of stuck with me throughout my life. I didn't know how it was going to unfold. But when he did eventually pass, even though he was the first one to live with that disease, that, as we know with the pharmaceuticals, they treat one thing, but then they have a detrimental effect in another area. But they had a detrimental effect on him. So he actually died because of the detrimental effect from the pharmaceuticals. And anyway, that opened up a new chapter in a very, I'd call it dark night of the soul way. I think I probably had more than the 10 years that they called the dark night of the soul. But in that time, where I had to discover, you know, how do I fit in the world? First of all, I looked for what was going to financially give me security. And then I started to follow my passion because I was just unhappy doing things, chasing money. But at least what I had done facilitated what then became apparent, because at that spa, I had that understanding that I wanted to work in that environment. So I took some training in some holistic therapies, reflexology, Reiki master, that kind of thing. But that I didn't really, I loved having the reflexology, but I recognized I didn't really want to do it. But they were stepping stones, because in that time being in that environment, I had a session myself of energy healing with somebody that didn't know me at all. But the night before I went for the healing, these words came through that just said healer communicator. So I had this energy healing with this guy. And afterwards he said, oh, he said, you're an energy, you're a healer communicator, the same bizarre words that I had received. And I got goosebumps that Julia Cannon calls truth bumps straight away. And I just thought, yeah, I know what it is though now, because while you've been doing this, energy work, the word hypnotherapy kept resonating inside me in a very profound way. So I just felt that a very clear insight. I started looking online at hypnotherapy courses, found the one that I liked, always with that more open mind, because that's how I've always been. I've always been very intuitive and wanting to help, wanting to people to have healing. So I found somebody that was a spiritual healer, but she was doing very grounded, very good hypnotherapy training. And it covered so much of the basics, you know, regression to cause, hypnoanalysis, hypnotherapy, reframing, NLP. It covered everything, past life regression even. What was interesting is I went back to, after I'd qualified at Regent's College, I went back to help out, and one of the days was on past life regression again. And somebody that I worked with, it was really fascinating because he went into a past life on a boat where it was sort of like rocking and he was on the verge of being sick. So I realized I needed to progress that rather quickly so that he wasn't sick, but it opened up a fascination. Then I had a phone call from somebody locally that wanted me to go and visit him because he had agoraphobia. He couldn't leave the house. And I did. And I recognized I wasn't speaking to the same individual that that had booked the session. Through that session, that the voice had shifted significantly. And I asked, who am I speaking to? And I asked, you know, was that part of the soul contract for you to be with this person? And apparently it was. What we find out, I didn't know about Dolores Cannon at that point. We're talking about 2004 when I first started. It was early days then. And what basically I now understand is that would be what we class, what Dolores classed as a walking, because the fetus, the spirit, sorry, decided that actually, no, I'm not ready for this life, this incarnation. So this other spirit stepped in, and it just left like a question mark and a fascination with me. We sorted his agoraphobia out, so that was good. And then I worked with somebody else, and she spontaneously went into what we call in quantum healing, although I wasn't doing that, I was just doing a regular past life regression, but we call it leapfrogging, when somebody goes from one life to the next. She had quite a few lives come up, and then in one of them she started speaking really loudly in French, and I don't speak French, but anyway, it sounded very intense. But basically the villagers were coming to get her. They were classing her as a witch when really she was just a herbalist trying to help, well, actually helping all of the villagers. But someone there didn't like it. So again, I was fascinated that she had started speaking French. And then fast forward to after I took other trainings, NLP to mastery and trainer level and life coaching sessions, training and hypnotherapy. Fast forward to 2011, my mother said, there's this woman called Dolores Cannon. She said, I think you should look into her because my gardener just mentioned her. So I thought, oh, and I just knew it sounded interesting. Oh, well, she sounded, the name sort of resonated with me. I looked online, discovered her, and it just so happens that Dolores Cannon, the founder of quantum healing hypnosis therapy, was coming over to the UK 5 months from my discovery of her in 2011. I booked the call straight away. I just had this knowing that I was meant to do it. Then I found somebody that I thought, I want to have the session myself before I have the training, so I've got a more of an understanding of it. So I booked my own session, had the training, I was in the front row, and I just looked at Dolores, and it's almost like I had filtered out everybody else and it was just me and her. And as I looked at her, I was just taking in every single word, and I was just aware of that energy field, and I could almost see her. I thought, this lady, she's not just got one or two spirit guides. She's literally got an entourage. It just looked like there was the silhouette of a group to her, to the side of her. I just knew it as a very special method that I'd come to. And all of my learnings up to that point from my entire life, to be honest, but certainly since my hypnotherapy training in 2004, she had a word. You know, we like stories. We like to have a way to try and name the innameable. And she had she has all of these books that she defined so much that so many of us have experienced. And that's why her method has become so popular, because there's something about when she speaks. I don't know if any of your listeners have listened to YouTube and Dolores speaking on some of these videos, but there's a truth or an honesty, a very grounded approach talking about this. It's not airy-fairy. It's just very matter of fact. And that's what so many people are drawn to. And even though I do other methods as well that work with higher consciousness in order to bring about change for people, quite often that have tried what they say, everything else and nothing works, they come to a method like this. And this was the missing piece. This is the piece that, you know, really gives them that resolution, or that it's very holistic. They get what they need from the session. It's a very unique approach, and I've really enjoyed it. It's kept me going. I still do it now. It's as popular to this day as it was back then, although I did used to fill my diary much more than I do now with it, just out of choice, really, because it's very intense. It's 4 hours. People will generally come along with half a dozen, maybe more, life questions to ask their higher consciousness. It's not a separate entity. It is them, but a much higher level that has got the innate wisdom, that does know that there was a reason that they wanted to, they chose to incarnate, or were guided to incarnate. And when they recognize more about themselves in a deeper sense, it changes their whole perspective. You come out of victimhood and sort of step into a more sort of purposeful way, more present, funny enough, even though we're doing past life regression in that, they actually leave more grounded, more present, more expansive, more aligned with their higher consciousness, rather than this, what neuroscience says is the conscious mind is just 5% of the totality of our mind, of our consciousness. And that 5% really does seem to be running the show, but it's not really. It's just got a lot of thinking and a lot of analyzing that just makes us feel that we're stuck at times. And sometimes just broadening our scope helps to release some of that that's not so useful to us.
So can you give us a brief overview of what happens in a QHHT session?
Yeah, so people might have, look, they might have these questions that they really want answers to, that, or they might have some issues with their body. And what so many practitioners of many different, not just QHHT, but there's many books that are written about this subject matter, is how the body really can store traumas and emotions. And, you know, if we're not aligned with that higher consciousness, if we're not taking action on some of these inner knowings, then, you know, we might start to feel not so great. If we still don't make a change when we feel that we're not happy in a particular situation, we still don't make those changes that we intuitively might allow a little bit of awareness of, but then put it to one side again and keep trying to keep going, like, you know, trying to walk through mud, then eventually it might start to affect the body. And Dolores Cannon, she sort of talks about how the body is a miraculous machine. It's literally built to be healthy. And when you align yourself with your innate knowing, your intuition, whatever you want to call it, life's got more flow, more ease. So if somebody's been feeling like they're stuck or blocked, they tend to book the session. If somebody's got issues with their body, aches, pains, they might want to understand how that happened, and if there's anything that can help it, they might book the session. So it's got a large scope. And then some people are just fascinated, they want to know more. So they come along with some questions. They talk about their life for possibly a couple of hours, however long it takes. sometimes the older people that have got more life experience take longer than the younger people that have got less life experience, unless that person's had lots of things going on in their life, then they'll tend to speak more about their life. I've noticed that people have had lots of counselling, lots of talking about their current life. Sometimes they just don't want to go there and they will just sort of give you a brief overview. But really, that talk, first of all, is important because it gives the person time to relax with me and in this environment, because the session is always in person. And also they can feel quite light afterwards, like a load's been lifted, especially if that person hasn't got somebody that they've been able to confide in. It's not often that another person will sit there completely confidential, non-judgmental, while we talk about our lives. So it's a very nice opportunity in order to do that. It's very respectful. I don't know if you felt the same, Simon, when you spoke about your current life. Did you feel that, how did you find that was for you?
Well, it's good sometimes, isn't it? Because you know there's confidentiality there. And you might say things that you wouldn't tell the people who are closest to you.
Yes. Yeah. So they talk about their life, first of all, and then that gives them time. You know, they might have traveled to get here, or they might have chosen to stay in an Airbnb or a hotel, and they just sort of decompress, feel comfortable. And that's a really lovely transition, because they tend to relax more and just open up more in the actual hypnosis. It's a relatively short, what we call induction, and 90% comes from the individual. This isn't like old school suggestion therapy and hypnotherapy where you are calm and relaxed. It really is the person that has all of the ability to access their information and their own realizations, awarenesses, healing. Everything comes from the person. So 90% comes from them. And my part in the facilitation is a little bit like a film director, nudging along where I need to, next. But the person needs to be able to express their first visions, their first thoughts, their first feelings, all of their sensory experience, just to speak all of that. And what happens is, even if it's a small detail, speak about the small detail, because a small detail leads us to the bigger detail. And the higher consciousness of that person will recognize that they are speaking what they're giving insights of. And then they start to receive more and more information. And then there's more flow, there's more momentum. So one life might come up. It could be quite possibly a past life. It could be what we call a quantum life. It could be one with a body or without a body. But generally, a story seems to come forth. It could be more than one, in actual fact. Then through that, even though that's very useful, emotions can be released there, triggers can be released there. Certainly interesting. It's all recorded, so the person doesn't have to try to remember what happens. They get the recording afterwards sent to them as an MP3. But what it fundamentally does is it allows that person to just open up their awareness. So we get to a certain point in the session, usually after about an hour of the actual hypnosis and past life information, could be 45 minutes to an hour, it all depends on the person, what's coming up for them, that we transition very nicely into me asking the questions that they would have handed me at the beginning, just prior to the actual hypnosis, of what are the questions that they would like clarity on. So I ask their questions. Also, there's some energy work that we invite from their higher consciousness. Again, it's not from me, it's from their own higher consciousness. And sometimes there's advice that's given, you know, what they could do differently that's going to help themselves. But some people, and many people in quantum healing hypnosis, Dolores speaks about it as well, obviously. And I've had it in feedback myself, obviously, that's kept me doing this work for as long as I've been doing it. A lot of people report improvement in conditions that, you know, that they've had for a long time. And that's really good. It's not something that we can guarantee. It all depends on the individual. But I believe after doing it for this length of time that it's certainly worth exploring. There's a real value in exploring more about ourselves.
There's a lot of hypnotherapists who do this over Zoom now, but you said the QHHT must be done in person.
Well, it's a long session. I don't know about you. Lots of people find being online for any length of time quite fatiguing. You could lose the connection. You could be in the middle of a past life. You could be exploring, you know, an emotional time possibly. And if that internet connection cuts out, and as a practitioner, you can't reach that person to support them and guide them, then what happens? It's not advisable. It's not advisable. Dolores really stipulated strongly that it's such a special session. It's literally, you don't need another QHHT session, a quantum healing hypnosis therapy session, or actually they call it quantum healing hypnosis technique now. You don't need another one. It's a one-off session, 4 hours, in a very confidential, safe space where it's an in-person session. So it's just optimizing whatever can happen in that session by it being in person. And she went to great lengths that anybody that was taught in QHHT knew that fact, that unless it's in person, it's not quantum healing hypnosis. It's always in person. A past life regression is a past life regression that can be done in an hour online, or hour to 2 hours online, all depending on what comes up. But that's up to the practitioner if they want to do it that way. And it's also obviously up to the person that wants to find out more about themselves. They might have a preference. If they want it to be online, then that's a past life regression session. I mean, I do other sessions where I'm also contacting that higher consciousness, and that is, it can be online or it can be in person, whatever the person would like, whatever the preference is. It's just with quantum healing hypnosis technique, that is an in-person session, due to the length of time as well.
Could you tell us about a time when you were taken through one of these sessions? Is that all right to ask?
Yeah, of course it is. When I was little, I used to come home from primary school having stretched my polar neck in the winter down to my chest. I couldn't stand polar necks. And even as I got older, if I was, let's say, in my 20s and I had a facial or some sort of treatment where they'd put the towel near my neck, I always used to pull it down. And I couldn't bear the thought of anybody touching my neck. I just thought, oh, no, I just don't like that. I didn't know why. I just didn't like it. My mum would wear polar necks. My dad would wear roll necks, but I didn't want to. And in my first quantum healing hypnosis session before I took the training, I discovered there was a neck thing, but it wasn't what I thought it would be. It's what happened to somebody else, and the whole thing around, the whole story around that. And what was even more, what comes to mind now, remembering that, is the result. Afterwards, I noticed that the birthmark that I'd had on my neck had disappeared, but I probably noticed it months later, not straight away. And I thought, where is my birthmark? Because that came up for release, the birthmark had actually been released as well. And I don't know if any of your listeners have discovered in, you know, certain books about this kind of topic, that birthmarks quite often can appear in places or issues, that the person might have issues in an area where they died, that was the cause of their death. So another example of that is in the level 2 training that I took in Glastonbury with Dolores Cannon. What you do is you break off into 2s or 3s, whatever the numbers are, and you go and practice on one another. And there was somebody there that practiced on me, and I was guided back to, actually, this one was a real, I've not had another experience exactly like it in terms of the sensation I got. I came in on the back of a camel, and what was really interesting is I could really feel the motion of the camel, and I could really feel the feel of my body, and I felt quite strong but small, a Middle Eastern man, that I was basically a slave. So I had a master, but what I was a camel jockey. Now, that is a term that I don't recall ever watching a film on. It's not something on my periphery. Never thought about it. But I was a camel jockey and I kept winning. And I used to sleep on straw with the camel. And the camel died before me, but I had a great love for this camel. I've always had a great love of animals and an affinity with them. But I remember looking at the camel's eyes, and there was just such an affection there. It was a beautiful, that was the only other being that I had unconditional love from. But when the camel died after many years, that meant I was a lot older by that stage as well. So I stopped winning races. And then I was just simply whipped to death in my lower back. And I brought that lower back pain into this life. And I got a lot of relief from that session afterwards. But in that same session, everything happened. I think sometimes it's happening to keep my interest there, that this is absolutely amazing, because instead of it just being one life, I leapfrogged into the life between lives after I was killed by the slave master. And I went to an area where there was so much love. I don't think I had a body. I was just energy. And there was this master being there, and there was this telepathic communication. And this being said to me that I'm part of the Melchizedek order. I might even be pronouncing that incorrectly, but there's a particular order that I belong to, and that they're very happy with me in this incarnation, that I'm doing very well. And in a whimpering voice, I just said, "It's been so hard though." But there was just so much love. And when we get the feelings, not just the visuals, in any hypnotherapy method, it's the feelings that are the difference that makes the difference, because there's no comparison to the unconditional love that flowed into me at that point. I've had it since, even in other hypnotherapy methods that I do when I've been on the receiving end, where there's this beautiful love that's available to us that we are part of, and possibly some could say in a parallel dimension. It could be happening concurrently, who knows? You know, we try to understand or get this 5% of analysing, rational thinking around some of these truths. But sometimes it's a challenge to fully understand it, but there was no denying the love that I experienced there. And then with that recognition, I was catapulted, it felt. It was just very, very fast. It was like that whole experience was on rewind, because I went back in time again, even further, to being like this royal blue orb outside of a sarcophagus, just with this utter confusion. I was in some sort of chamber and I was looking back at the sarcophagus and I was just thinking, how did they kill me? I'm too powerful. How did they kill me? And it was just such a powerful question, because I was absolutely bemused at how they did it, because I just knew I was so powerful. And so that was such a session of contrast, from going from a slave to being aware in the life between lives of my role and the love that there is, and the acknowledgement and confirmation that I'm doing a good job, to a knowing that I'm so powerful, but being an orb. And with that question, how did they kill me? I just don't understand how they killed me. It again catapulted me into that life. And I just knew I was huge in Egyptian times. I could see the pyramids around. I think I was aware of humans being very small, very, very small. But I say, I am Sekhmet. And I repeat it in a particular way. So that was very interesting. That was all in one session. It was epic. And it kept me to this day doing what I do as well, because there's nothing quite like having the experience yourself, so that you're coming from a place of understanding and facilitating these sessions for others. And they're always different. Even their own session, even though it's just one session that's required. Like I've noticed in myself, any session thereafter, even years later, or even just a year later, if you choose to have another one, maybe there's some changes that have happened in your life. You've got some more questions, want more clarity or help in some way, some support or some more knowing. Each session is usually completely and utterly different than the last. And even sometimes people may come as a first session and they may say something like, I know what I was before. I've had visions of this or that, or I've had some work done where this knowledge has come to me. I know what I was. I just want more clarity on that. Sometimes their session will give them some more clarity on that. But quite often it just shows them something completely different again. So it is very interesting, very intriguing.
So you went through that session and you saw those different lives and you had that kind of spiritual experience and you have somebody who's kind of guiding you through it, but they don't choose which past lives you see. They don't say you're going into this spiritual space. So who or what chooses what you see in the session?
Yeah, so words are a funny thing. And I think we as humans, the only beings on the planet, as far as we know, that are using language, we try to put words to the innameable. But I think the best way I can describe it is, to my understanding now, my understanding might change. I mean, even Dolores Cannon, before she passed, she said every time she thinks she understands some of these concepts, her mind's bent like a pretzel with new understanding as time goes on and experience continues. But from what I understand, as neuroscience says, I agree, we've got, I don't know the percentage, but they say about 5% of rational conscious mind thinking. And it really feels real, you know, this language that we've got, the thoughts that we have, the thinking that we do, the analysing that we do as we try to make sense of the world and put words to experience. And then we've got, through repetition, you know, we're born with just, I don't know, just a few programs, a handful of programs as babies. And then going through life, we have experiences, conditionings, rules placed upon us, rules we put on ourselves. And we start to develop different behaviors from different feelings, different beliefs. And we start to develop more programs, more and more programs. And just like buying a laptop, first of all, it's functioning really efficiently. It's flowing very nicely. A baby is very present. They've got the fundamental programs that they need. And then they learn more. And it's probably still fairly good up to a point if they've been unfortunate enough to experience traumas. But at a certain point, there's just too much on the computer. There's too much in the subconscious. And we're at a time where there's so much overwhelm from so much information. We're trying to put understandings to some of this madness that's going on in the world. And I don't think it's more learning. Well, actually, it is learning, but it's sometimes it's less is more. And it's just a reset back to what actually is the requirement. And the easiest route to that is to start coming and recognizing more of your own presence and coming from the heart, the heart mind, and trusting more of that intuition. And just, if anything, noticing the spaces between words, because that is where that innate wisdom is, whatever you want to call it. And so that, in answer to your question, there is a wisdom behind life that is really running the show, even though the ego thinks it's running the show. Really, there is an innate wisdom. There's a divine plan in my mind that's very important. And if you think about anything that's really good, let's say like a really good music track that's completely new, where did the new music come from? Where did the new lyrics come from? The idea behind that couldn't have come from the subconscious, because that might influence some of that. But the subconscious can only give you a learnt response. It can only give you what the program has been up to that day. You know, if you think about an artist and she or he paints a work of art, where did that new creation come from? Where do the new inventions come from? Where does intuition or knowing come from? It can't come just from the subconscious, the programs that have been before, that new and fresh, that those insights, when we have that feeling of love or any of those nicer sort of feelings, it's not usually when the head is full of thoughts. It's normally when we let go. We could be gardening. We could be, I don't know, floating on the sea. We could be just having a beautiful interaction with another person in love. And there's that space that really is wisdom. So what hypnosis does is, hypnosis isn't the therapy, but it is the vehicle. So it reminds me, if anyone listening is visual, of when we're in our thinking mind, that conscious mind, it reminds me of a bud. It's more closed, it's tight, it has all the potential within it, but it's a bit closed at the moment. And when you let go, you're more sort of blossoming, opening, and hypnosis allows that person to open into more of their truth, more of their innate knowing, more of their wisdom, and have access to information that's more relevant at the time that they have their session. Does that make sense, what I've said there?
So is there some involvement with what we might call the higher self? Or is the higher self even a phrase that you would use?
Well, I think ultimately in the place where we're at the moment is people have got their own view, quite rightly, and they might have a preference. And as I said earlier, is we're trying to put words to the innameable. I'm trying to simplify it, but just saying the space between the words. I'm a transformative life coach. And in that method that was based on a man called Sid Banks, he was a Scottish welder. He had like this Satori moment where he had this enlightenment. He was about to go into some sort of form of training. And he'd been talking about his problems while they were waiting for this training to somebody else. And this other person said to him, "You know what, Sid, I think that what I'm hearing is there isn't any problem. The problem is just in your thinking." And he had this enlightenment that, yeah, so many issues are just in the perspective, in what we're thinking, that it's not a real, genuine problem. So a whole coaching model was designed around the space between the words, all of the wordiness of everything. And then, as we know in quantum healing hypnosis, Dolores Cannon called it the subconscious. But regular hypnotherapists that do very good work, I might say, they call that part the subconscious. If it is a part, who knows? But in my mind, there are definitions and there are what I would say is morphic fields of knowledge. So in my mind right now, we've got what the regular hypnotherapists deem as the subconscious. The psychologist might call it the subconscious, and psychotherapists might call it the subconscious. And maybe everything else you could call the subconscious, but these are just ideas that anyone can try on for size. But maybe there's a broader expansion to the subconscious that contains all the conditionings and the programs. Just maybe there's a higher consciousness, and you might be happy with that term. If somebody was having a session, they might call it the higher consciousness, or they might just have their own practice of meditation or self-hypnosis and call it the higher consciousness. Or really in life, if they want to be an example of alignment with their higher consciousness, what could be better than that? You know, to walk your talk and not for it just to be a practice in order to gain information. What if I aligned with my higher consciousness more of the time, more of that flow state would happen? I don't know anybody yet that's actually achieved it 100% of the time, but wouldn't it be good to align with more of that higher consciousness instead of just the analyzing, egoic, rational thinking mind? Because when we do too much of that, sometimes it doesn't feel so great, other times it can. Sometimes it doesn't. But maybe you've got another band or morphic field of another wisdom available, and maybe you could class it as the superconscious. I don't know. Maybe there's a superconscious that's aware of all of your other lives. Maybe it's aware of your soul contracts. Maybe it's more connected to the oneness that we so often hear about from many of the ancient philosophies or religions, if you want to call it that. Maybe there's a band of frequency that could be simply called all of us, that is a consciousness or a field that when asked, because the nature of human, I believe, is free will, that's what we've come here with, is to make decisions with our free will. Maybe there's a band of consciousness that would like humans to progress for the betterment of our evolvement. And maybe it's worth exploring some of that higher consciousness. I certainly believe there's a value in exploring those that higher consciousness in any which way I can. That's what I personally choose to do. I've not watched the TV for a year, or I should say this year. I used to just watch films sometimes at the nighttime, but I've disconnected everything because I don't see the value in it anymore. I don't watch the news or any of the fear mongering. I just have disconnected what I find of little value, and I've totally just enjoying the space to really follow whatever interests that I have. The other day I did a Wim Hof fundamentals course and dipped myself into ice water.
Oh boy.
And I noticed how elated I felt afterwards. So I'm just trying on for size and allowing the compass to literally be, instead of following money, instead of following anything else, just what do I feel like doing? What do I want to explore, I don't know, in the next month or in the next week or today? And just, you know, and just going with that without overthinking it. And really, I'm experiencing the value in more of that exploration. I do for myself. I have a self-practice of self-hypnosis. It makes me feel good. I get awareness when I do it. I feel better when I do it. So I'm really enjoying that as well. And I just enjoy so much more the simple things in life. Like, I've always walked my dogs, but I really, really am valuing nature even more than ever. I live near the coast. I live on the beach. I just love it. And I live near a lot of greenery. Everything that the system that we're in is destroying is what really is of most value. There's nothing more valuable than nature. And we have to remember that we are actually part of nature, and that innate wisdom that's there as we connect with all. So we're in an important time right now to make very key decisions, to stop following, you know, the herd, and literally question and understand and follow our own intuition. It's very, very important.
So if you're taking somebody through a session and you find something that indicates, if you work with this, that can give them some kind of healing in this life.
Yeah.
Do you have techniques for, I don't know, releasing negative energy, breaking a bond to the past life, things like that?
All of that can be done in the methods. I do advanced hypnotherapy sessions where it's working with the same, whatever you want to call it, innate wisdom, higher consciousness, superconscious, as quantum healing does. Quantum healing, in contrast, is lots of story. You get it recorded, you get it sent to you. You've spoken about your current life. You've gone into quite possible, could be anywhere. Could have gone into a parallel dimension. You could have gone into the future. You could have gone into what seems to be ancient times. You could have gone into, as I did in my experience, the life between lives, it seems, which is obviously still life, but I don't know a better term for it at the moment. You could explore all of that there. You could get released very naturally. In that session, we're leaving it 90% to the higher consciousness. And my wording isn't like what it would be in hypnoanalysis. In the original training I got in 2004, it was very good. You know, if someone came with a particular issue, you would ask ask the subconscious whether it's relevant to go back in time in order to release that particular issue to the very first time. That was the wording in regular hypnoanalysis, words to that effect anyway. Or can this change just be done? And you'd find out. So that'd be very much me guiding that process. Whereas in QHHT, it is the person guiding that process, or more letting go, to allow that higher consciousness, but needing to speak what comes through. If the person doesn't speak, we haven't got anything to work with. The person needs to speak. 90% comes from them, just speaking the first insights that come to them. And in contrast, the other sessions that I do, and people, as I say, have reported all sorts of benefits from that session. It could be clarity and, you know, more what's important to them right now, what changes they need to make, anything for their health, healings. And then in the other methods that I do, equally, we're still working with that higher consciousness, but it might be that the superconscious can address whatever issues without them needing to go back. Or if they do need to go back to release anything there, whether it be a block or release or address anything there, it might be that they get a fleeting insight of that other time. It could be from this life. It could be from a past life. It might seem whatever it is, it comes up for release. We don't have to have the full story. You don't have to have the full film. It could be just a fleeting knowing, and you could get a number of those in that session. They're a 2-hour advanced hypnotherapy session where the superconscious can address whatever needs to be addressed. And again, if you're meant to get awareness, you'll get it. But it might be that the changes can happen without getting that awareness in that session. So you're not relying on a story in that session, but you're just noticing what's different afterwards. And quite often a lot can be done in one session, in that 1-2 hour session. But if a follow-up session is required, then I find out if that is required. And I also find out when that might be required. And I also find out whether there's processing and how long the processing will take. And all of that is indicated predominantly through finger signals, what we as hypnotherapists call idiometer responses. So QHHT is all about the person verbally exploring and experiencing and verbalizing what that is. And then the other methods quite often that I utilize, whether that be Simpson protocol, flow of life, or just advanced hypnotherapy, is idiometer responses, which is finger signals. There'd be a finger signal for yes and a finger signal for no. Occasional words I might need, I ask for clarity, but it'd just be like a word or two. But mainly it's those finger signals. And that's good, really good. The fact that we can do that session online, and also good because you don't have to come up any levels in order to verbalize or make sense of what's happening. So you can go as comfortably, let go as comfortably as you want to by choice. And some real beneficial healings can happen with those sessions, equally good.
And when you're doing QHHT, do you ever come across people who have lives on other planets?
Yes, yeah, that's been quite common as well. I've had people that have had more than one life come through, and they might quite often tribal lives come up, or mermaid lives, or lives as part of nature. You could be part of something. Like I had somebody that was part of a water molecule under the sea. They realized, first of all, they just thought it was color. They weren't sure what they were getting. And that's why you've got to have patience. Sometimes it takes a little time where, as long as you're patient with yourself, stay relaxed. Nothing is nothing and everything is something. And you start to realize, more about that. And they realized they were part of the sea. They realized there was a fishing boat above them. Then they realized that they were condensation. That was a different experience. And they realized they were part of a cloud. Then they realized they were a raindrop coming down. Then they landed as a raindrop on a mountain. They become the consciousness of the mountain that was by the side of the sea. And then they became the water droplet again and fell back down. Oh, no, they were condensation, went back up. And then they came back down into the water. And we finished where we started. So that was more sort of a water life, the journey of water. That was beautiful. And that, and also you can have, as you have asked, life on other planets. Sometimes it might seem to develop after, not always, but sometimes it seems to develop. Let's give you an example. After a life has been explored, let's say from here, just as an example, and then the life between lives, another life seems to be, I can see planets. Oh, yes, I'm on a ship, that kind of thing. And so then they explore that. Or sometimes people come straight into one of those, I call them quantum lives. It could be with or without a body. You could be just part of a beautiful feeling and just observing whatever you're observing. And it might be very simple. It might start as colours, and then you recognise that maybe different colours have different vibrations or different experiences. And those subtleties often lead to more.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure.
Could you tell us about your website and your training and how people can find you?
Yeah, so my website is my name, but with a hyphen in the middle. So it's www.natalie-hyphen, so a little minus sign, hall.com. Training's going to be available. It's not listed yet, in October of this year. And in the meantime, I still continue with the one-to-ones online and in person, whether it be quantum healing, advanced hypnotherapy. I'm a master hypnotherapist, NLP, Simpson Protocol, Flow of Life, transformative life coaching. But I also do group sessions, group Dolores Cannon, past life regressions, future life regressions, meet your guide. They're really enjoyable. Quite often there's just a dozen or so people, but it's just a really nice taste. You probably get some insights in that session. Most people often do. I also offer coaching group programs and also self-hypnosis group programs. The next ones are in September.
Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Good. Thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Simon. Thank you.
And that was an interview with Natalie Hall. A great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon. When you subscribe for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you can get an extended episode every month. And you can now sign up for a 7-day free trial. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife. Or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastlifeshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And my book on verified near-death experiences has been published. You can get it on Amazon. It's available on audiobook, Kindle, and paperback. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.